You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 206 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Tuesday, July 16th of 2019, and here in Kansas City, I am your host, J.R. Cook, and I am joined by our normal, every day, every week crew over in New Hampshire. I'm going to introduce them one at a time today. Over there, Mr. Danny Donuts. How's it going, man?
Hey, it's going well, JR. Having a good day. So, yeah. Done with a lot of work stuff, so I get to relax for the rest of this week.
Nice. Did you do anything interesting, or just...
On Hearthstone? Yeah, I actually, this has been the week of the Warlock in Wilds, where I don't want to say new decks, but two decks have really started sprouting up in Wild and really taken the ladder by storm a little bit. One of them is a little bit more... It makes me a little bit more happy than the other. One of them is the revival of Cube Warlock.
All right.
Using some of the new cards from this set, like the new Lackey Generating card, and you're using Eggs as your early game, and the classic like Doomguard with Skull and Voidcaller for the mid game, and your classic Big Demons at the end. So that's a fun deck. I've been playing a lot of that. I think someone hit rank one with the deck, so it's getting very popular on the ladder, so a lot of people are playing that. And then the deck I'm not super thrilled about is Treachery Warlock. Which, in case you haven't played Wild for a while, you play Treachery and then either Howl Fiend or Fel Reaver, and you discard your opponent's hand or deck by doing a bunch of things. Yeah, so the thing is that I used to run the Tempo Storm meta snapshot for Wild, right? And it was always on the cusp of being something that... It was always a counter cube deck. You'd see it in pockets on the ladder. And we resolved that we would never go through and put it onto the ladder unless it became, like, fairly popular. Because the more people playing it, the more annoying, like, control decks are. It never was really strong enough to be something. But at this point, like... All three of the tier lists for Wilds, there's the Rank Star one, the Tempo Storm one, the Vicious Syndicate one. All this is the first week that all three of them had put it out onto their tier list. So enough people are playing it just because of the way the meta's shaping up at the moment.
All right. Well, Wild sounds pretty wild right now. Yeah, pretty wild right now. So the other person we have over there, also from New Hampshire, is our resident pro player from Panda Global, Ray. How's it going, man?
I actually played Hearthstone this week. I don't know. I mean, there's literally been no changes. I haven't really played aside from this week, like since Vegas. And I mean, the meta game is exactly the same.
Right.
Like Cyclone Mage is just the best deck in the game by far. And then Bomb Warrior is still just incredibly strong. And then there are decks that try to counter those decks and do it inconsistently. So they're kind of like sort of things. But if you want to win games, you should just be playing Cyclone Mage or Bomb Warrior. That is playing like Double Brawl and maybe some techs to beat Cyclone Mage. Just because even from rank 4 to Legend, I am just seeing like Cyclone Mage and Mech Hunters. Because Mech Hunter is just, like, decent against both Warrior and it's okay against Cyclone Mage. So the variety on the ladder is just non-existent right now, which is pretty discouraging.
You know what you could be doing, Ray?
What could I be doing, JR?
So there's a nice little brawl thing going on right now. Nice little event.
Tell me about it.
You can play the Tavern Brawl and do some dungeon runs and some stuff like that. And... I've actually enjoyed it this week. The Tavern Brawl this past week was pretty good. And there's
so you're
gonna be
telling
more.
I should play Tavern Brawl.
You should play Tavern Brawl.
It actually has a bit of a competitive edge to it because you have the, you're able to go through and get your time on it. So a lot of people are speed running it and trying to see how fast you can beat it. So a lot of people are trying to get high scores because essentially you get different rewards for how fast you can beat Ragnaros at the end.
Yeah.
Is there like what kind of rewards? Like packs?
You get a golden card.
No, like, wasn't there a card back? Or is that if you only didn't have that card back?
I did not get a card back. I got golden cards.
What? How fast did you go? I think it's if it's under 40 minutes, you get a card back.
Okay, maybe I did get a card back and I just forgot. Because I got two rewards. It's under 40 minutes and another one. There's under 40 minutes and then there's another one that you have to.
There was one under an hour. Under an hour.
Oh, it's under an hour and under 40 minutes. Okay, because I did it in like 29.
Nice.
Dang, JR. Flexing.
Yeah.
My first time it took me like 50 minutes, but I was like, I initially set in and I'm like, okay, I'll go and do it and I'll try to like speed run this, and I'm like, oh, part of it is getting lucky, but knowing which class to do. Definitely don't do priest. Priest is really slow.
So I did it with Dr. Boom, and I got the reward or whatever, the little thing, the mystery package or whatever you get at the beginning. I got the three boom bots that you start with. So you start on the board with three boom bots. And then I got the passive where my death rattles trigger twice. And then after that, later on, I got three more boom bots. So I would start out the game with six boom bots and death rattles would trigger twice for me. So I just destroyed everything.
Nice.
That sounds intense.
Yeah, so it's basically get to turn five, brawl, and win the game. Or
I don't know. Like, if there was like some type of competition for it, like a Twitch, like they did those Twitch things before when they did like Black Rock Mountain, stuff like that, then I'd probably do it.
Yeah, this was more, like, I mean, this was fun. Like, it was a good time to spend like an hour and a half or so playing around with it.
I think I'm just way too addicted to TFT right now, and I just want to play the new set. And like, that is like when I will play Hearthstone like a lot more. Like, I'll binge Hearthstone once the new set comes out, and I'll be like really excited to try new decks and get my juices flowing, you know, try out all my bad ideas, get them out of the way. And then hopefully it doesn't just end up being like it has been previously, where it just kind of settles back into the same meta that we've had previously, but with like minor changes.
Right.
And that's kind of been the issue. It's just like, it just feels so stale, I guess, to me. Even though there's been so many nerfs and buffs and stuff, it just feels like it hasn't really done enough for some reason. Like, even Frozen bringing Pogo Rogue to Grandmasters, even after Vanish is nerfed and all these things are nerfed, it's like, you said you're just playing the same deck, just minus the nerfed card and plus something else, and it's relatively a similar power level for whatever reason. And then there's Mage, which just is way too good right now. It just makes it not fun to queue ladder, because you're just like, well, do I hit my techs for Mage, or do I lose to Mountain Giant on turn three?
Right.
That is what the game comes down to. Like, almost every other game I'm playing against Cyclone Mage. And then against the mech decks, it's like, it just doesn't feel like I'm playing a game where I have to think. It's like playing a game where I have to either get the cards that are very specifically for these decks, or I die. There's not really too much decision-making unless you're playing against, like, mirror matches or some other random matchups that, like, you might see in Grandmasters. Like, you'll see like warrior mirrors and stuff, you'll see warrior versus rogue where like they're playing a value game and stuff, or you'll even see like games go much longer against mage because they'll be able to sideboard in their hate. But on ladder, it just feels so repetitive compared to previous metagames. And I think it's also just one of those things where I don't have a deck that is like a pet deck. Like, when I could play Bitcoin Mage for like infinity hours and just not get bored,
all right?
And like, that was my thing that I just really enjoy doing. I don't have that pet deck right now. Like, Bomb Warrior is the deck that I got really good at because it was just the best and learned how to play it better than other people, won like the qualifiers to Vegas and stuff. And then after that, I'm just like, that deck isn't actually fun. It was fun to be able to be better than other people, I guess. Like, be able to play the mirror match better than them and just be able to do well in events. But now that Like, I'm not going to go to Korea, or I'm not going to go to Bucharest. It's just like, there's nothing to even like play. Like, playing that deck on ladder is very boring to me. And like, the Cyclone Mage deck is, I don't know, it just doesn't give me that same feeling. Like, it just doesn't feel as fun for some reason to me. Maybe it's just because everybody else is playing it. Maybe I'm a hipster.
Maybe.
Well, it seems like Blizzard's taken attention to this, at least in the cards that we've seen so far. And card reveal season is one of the best times for Hearthstone. But just from what we've seen so far, there hasn't been anything really pushing towards the current good archetypes. And it seems like that certain classes like Shaman and some of the classes like Priest that really don't have anything in your current standard meta are really starting to get some tools. So I think that's something that's very interesting to look into. So hopefully, essentially all we're looking at is moving forward, because the next set comes out within 2 weeks, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, effectively, the whole of the League of Evil, the whole of it for me personally has been very, very boring after, like, so originally it was like the Hunter meta, right? And then the new set came out, and then it was Mage and Bomb Warrior. Like, Bomb Warrior was insanely popular, by far the most popular deck, and then these mech decks. And for some reason, that metagame, it just felt too monotonous and just too boring. Like, yeah, it was fun figuring out like the nuances of a mirror match and certain matchups and all that, but it's not actually fun to go and then play it for fun when there's no like competitive aspect. Like, ladder, if getting rank one meant something and people actually cared about getting rank one, then I would actually have fun playing Bomb Warrior on ladder and getting high ranks, because people would actually care. You know what I mean? Like, it's an accomplishment. But if you get rank, like, if you're a pro and you get rank one legend right now, it's just like, who cares? Like, other people are going to be like, yeah, because it's like, anybody can do it. Nobody is even playing the game right now. It's like, nobody cares. So it feels like less of a thing.
I find that when Control Warrior is a dominant deck in any meta, just it seems like, just due to the speed of the deck and just taking, like, having fatigue as a potential game plan, while it's good in small doses, as soon as it becomes a key component of the meta, people start to get tired of it. That's something that, like, I used to like to queue up Control Warrior a while back in Wild, and then there was a meta when Control Warrior became like a strong matchup. Odd Warrior was very, very good, and I found it less satisfying to play the deck just because of how long the games would take. And I mean, resource management, everything's great in the match and everything, but once everyone's doing it and people start to recognize how you play against it and all that stuff, it really does start to get a little bit dull.
Oh, I think it wouldn't get boring for me if the points mattered. Like, that end of season grind, even though it's miserable, it's very rewarding if you get there. Like, the feeling of finishing, like, getting that top 50 finish, even no matter what deck you played to get there, like, that feeling is just so good when you know that you got the finish and you're just like, yes, I've accomplished something amazing that is not easy to do, and that other people actually are striving to do as well.
Yeah.
And when there is just no reward and just nobody cares, it feels bad. Dog was actually one who was talking about this the most, because I've been watching him stream a lot. And one of the big things that he said, the reason why the biggest reason why he doesn't want to be in Grandmasters anymore is because the other Grandmasters don't care. Like, he only did it because he likes the competition of it. Like, this guy's Toast didn't do Grandmasters, and he definitely could have gotten in because he doesn't care about the competition and it's just losing money, right? So somebody like Dog, for them to want to do it for the sake of the competition and then doing it and then feeling like everybody else just doesn't care is just such a bad feeling for him. He's just like, why am I even doing this if other people aren't caring? Like, the only reason why I'm doing it is so I can compete at the highest level of a game. And that's how I feel when I play ladder. If I'm going for high ranks, I want to feel like it matters. Like, people like that almost demands like some type of respect when you get like rank one legend on an on season where points matter. Like, you are like, that is a big deal. And other pros are like, damn, that's a good accomplishment. Like, that's impressive. But you get it right now, it's like, who cares? Like, no, nobody does. So yeah, it just
I can emulate that too, because especially when we had the wild open and I was grinding in like ladder, in the essence that you were saying it, the wild ladder mattered for 1 month. And to be one of the people to get that spot, to be like, okay, well, I claim that I'm a wild expert and I essentially showcased my skills that I can qualify at this level, right? It does add a little bit of, essentially, it shows that you're able to accomplish it, right? And you're not just talk. And I think that that is something that is definitely something, it's something that drives people. It's a motivation to play the game, to be the best of the best. Whereas, like, if it doesn't matter, it's like, great. People can go and say anyone can do it. But
yeah, I mean, it's even with TFT, like, if Ranked was not coming out, like, if they announced that Ranked was never going to be a thing, I wouldn't play the game. Like, I would play Underlords or a different game with rank that is similar. Like, I would just play one of the other ones. Like, the main reason why I'm so addicted to TFT is because I like it better, and I know that Ranked is going to come out, so there's going to be a ladder to climb, and there's going to be that, like, chance to just become the best.
Yeah.
Or become one of the best, and then that almost demands respect from other
players. Yeah, and this is something that what you're talking about, I think, is very important. That because when Hearthstone first came out, like, the biggest thing for me is at the time it was like 3-star master, which ended up being a joke at the end of it because pretty much everybody ended up getting to 3-star master. but then when they came out with the ladder system that they kind of have today, where if you get legend, you know, it's kind of a big deal, and then you had a leaderboard on that, and then so that by itself was a big deal for me. To just hit legend. And then once I hit legend, it became less of a big deal. But I can definitely see, like, for players that wanted to go even a step beyond that, and where they made it where ladder affected your placement into getting into tournaments and being able to compete at a higher level and potentially even getting paid for that. And then this last year, they ripped that all out. And while they did something kind of cool with the open cups and things like that, I think by them doing that, it kind of killed the just playing the game normally on ladder, right? By taking away those incentives.
I think the cup system would be at least a little bit more acceptable if they were reasonable, like if it was a reasonable amount of time that you could do it. Like, imagine if open cups took 4 hours. Like, that's something you can easily do in like one sitting and not want to jump off a cliff,
right?
But playing an open cup for 10 to 16 hours is like just way too much. You can't have fun doing that. It's just too much.
But what's
I mean, I've definitely done that recently because I've been playing a little bit of chess on the side, and they've been doing 1.5-hour 7-round Swiss tournaments and timed in a timed tournament. I can take 1.5 hours out of my day and play in a tournament and like see how I do against other people. And like, that's awesome. I think that if that was for Hearthstone, it's like I can play in a, I don't know, 2-3 hour thing a day and just be done with like a tournament or something smaller. That would be awesome. I think that's something that's definitely like on the cusp of being a thing, but I don't know. I think that ties back to the, oh, we need a tournament mode type of thing.
Right. And like what you were saying, Ray, like while you were playing like Team Fight Tactic, I don't remember the name of that game, to be honest.
TFT.
You know, I've kind of made fun of you guys the last few weeks for that. And then I dove into Underlords this week, and now I'm like completely freaking hooked on it. And I think the reason why is because, one, I started learning that I'm actually like fairly decent at the game. And two, it's that incentive that I'm sitting there playing and I'm ranking up. And it's something I haven't done before in that game. And, you know, I'm like, oh, shoot, you know, I want to get to, you know, at least like big boss, which is like at least that would be like the equivalent of getting rank 5 in Hearthstone right now, I think. Because there's like a level above that that's called Lord, which is basically legend, because then you start getting on the leaderboards and stuff. And I just don't have the time to dedicate to trying to get to that. But I'm like actually not too far from big boss at this point. I've only played for like a week, so maybe I will. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it's it. But playing that and having the rush of doing well and feeling like, oh, I'm playing against players that I feel are really trying to get there is definitely a big deal. Whereas with Hearthstone, just because I've played it for so long, and I still enjoy it, it doesn't have the same rush to it anymore.
Right. That is something that I wanted to point out too, is that like for people who are relatively newer, or for people that aren't as competitive, who are now becoming more competitive, they get that internal satisfaction,
right,
to of getting legend, ranking up. Like that is then exciting. But once you've gotten legend on multiple accounts for 4 or 5 years in a row every month, like I don't even know how many times I've gotten legend anymore. It's definitely over 100. It's like hundreds of times probably at this point, because there was for almost two years I got legend on 2 to 3 servers every single month. So that'd be like, yeah, it's just insane. I've done it an insane amount of times to the point where like getting legend is not an accomplishment. Getting top 10 legend on an off season isn't an accomplishment. Only rank one is something that I'll be like, okay, this is like, I feel good about doing this. This is like, this is something that makes me feel good on an off season.
Yeah.
Getting top 50, top 100 on an on season is something completely different. Like doing that on a season where everybody in the world is trying to get those spots is drastically different. And unless you've experienced it, like unless you've experienced playing during an on season and then playing during right now, it's not even close to the same experience. Like it sounds weird because it's still just the legend ladder. There are still good players playing, but the amount of time they're playing and the amount of people that are actually trying is just non-comparable. And it's
because the decks are more refined at that point. People are playing at a higher level because more is on the line. I think that the stakes aren't high enough. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. But I mean, there are certainly, you're driven internally at a certain point. I think this what ultimately this does is it turns every player to driven towards a specific goal of whatever like rank they are. To now, it's internal. Like Hearthstone is now an internal milestone driven game where someone says, "All right, I want to get rank one legend," and then they go and they do that. Whereas like the goal is not like uniform for everyone. Everyone has their own different goals. Now, whereas before it was get a specific number of points so that you can qualify for this, where it's like now it's like you're not really driven to do anything except for these tournaments. These tournaments are the only thing that the drive is for, and ultimately it offsets it to a select group of individuals who can grind tournaments. And not, I think that the old system was actually open to more people because you're able to go through and say, I can plan my time so that I can go and hit legend and then go up and try to like stay within the top 100 at a period of my own choosing, as opposed to someone who's like, all right, you need to block off this 8-hour period and be there or be square.
Yeah.
I mean, it just comes down to not having enough internal motivation to want to play, and that is something that is really difficult for more casual people to understand, because I've talked about this. People are just like, why aren't the pros playing Hearthstone? Like that's their job, whatever. It's just like they just don't, that's how little they care to play, like for fun, because there's no
drive. That's the big right. thing.
They're playing for very different reasons.
Yeah, we just play for different reasons, right. And I don't think it's a bad thing. No. I don't think that's why people are playing so many auto chess games. That's why people are playing these other games, and you're seeing all these pro Hearthstone players post high ranks in other games, is because that is the thing that they're going for. They're not, I mean, we are playing Hearthstone because we love Hearthstone, but we love Hearthstone for different reasons than the majority of the player base. Like the top percentage of players that play Hearthstone competitively came from other games where they did the same thing.
Right.
And then Hearthstone was the new thing, and like the game is very good, but that's not the only thing that we need. I guess it sounds weird, but when you're used to competing and that's like what you do, you just view it differently.
Yeah. And so as Ray is sitting here trashing Hearthstone,
not the game.
I wanted to read this. So normally we read like our iTunes reviews at the end of the show, but I wanted to read this one because it wasn't a 5-star review. But we kind of read it before, and this is kind of what kind of spurred, I think, this conversation a little bit, why we started diving into this kind of early on. And we got this, it was actually a 3-star review, and it's from Ender Led, and the title is Hearthstone Pod with Hosts Who Seem to Hate Hearthstone. And he says in his review, I'm a bit torn on this one. I've listened to this podcast for a few months now, and while I generally enjoy the hosts and their banter, the fact that they all seem to trash the game constantly wears on you. Here's the thing. It's not a perfect game. I know it. You know it. We all know it. But when I listen to a podcast literally revolving around the game, I clearly like it and want to hear news and strategy and tips, et cetera, et cetera. They talk about how some of them don't even play the game anymore and why it is dying. Fine if that's how you feel, but why have a Hearthstone podcast then? And I think the biggest thing on this, and this is fair, this, like we talked about, this is actually very fair criticism. It's something that I worry about when we do kind of talk about where the game is and how we feel about it right now. I think the biggest thing is we don't hate Hearthstone. I think the game right now,
I think we care more than most people.
Right. That's we care a lot about Hearthstone.
We care more than most people.
Right. I would 100% agree with that. And I think the biggest thing for me is like right now, like Hearthstone's actually like what the developers are doing right now is actually amazing. Like what they're starting to do. And I'm really excited about the game, where it's going. I think lately a lot of our complaints have been on the esports and the competitive side, because that has fallen a lot. And the reason for that, I believe, is like all of the layoffs that Blizzard had recently, and it just, the talent just dropped.
And it's significantly, consistently terrible. Like, this weekend, I was going to play in an Open Cup, and then every single Open Cup that fired this weekend had to restart round one because of incompetence from admins and not knowing how to do their job. Like, imagine winning round one of a tournament and then having the brackets reset, which means you start the tournament all over again, facing somebody else and then losing. And then you just, like, your day is just ruined and you just feel terrible.
Right.
Like, that happened consistently for the last couple weeks, and I tweeted it. I was like, I'm gonna try to play an Open Cup this weekend, and I hope this doesn't happen. And then it happened, and I was like, no, I'm not even gonna try to continue playing, because like, or at that point, your 2 hours have been wasted because they restart. Like, that whole 2 hours is irrelevant. Like, I'm just done. Like, I tried to play, and I was like, that happened, and I was like, okay, I literally called this. It has nothing to do with the game. That's the worst part. The game is actually good right now.
Yeah.
Even if it is stale, the actual strategy and stuff, like, good players are going to win more of the time. Like, I feel like I can gain an edge by being a better player. The decks are, like, the matchups are actually very intricate and dynamic a lot of the time, but it's just boring. And some matchups are just like, do you have the answer to Mountain Giant or not? And that's not even the issue, though. It's just the esports side of it is just miserable. And that is the main thing that I do. Like, that is why John originally brought me on this podcast at all, was to be the competitive voice of, like, how you play better, like, what's going on in esports, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And when that aspect of the game is, like, effectively my career and it's just garbage, then you start to...
You start, like, criticizing a lot more.
You start criticizing. Like, I think I have praised the developers a lot recently, and I still do, and I still agree with that. But the esports team has just been dropping the ball, and that is, it is something that I don't think I would ever want to avoid. Like, I could pretend to be like, just say it, and then pretend not to care, or just kind of brush it off, and then, like, talk about whatever, and, like, be more upbeat and positive and happy and all that crap. But it is not that. That's just not something I ever do. Like, that's just not my personality. Like, I would rather talk about what needs to be changed, because I want the changes to happen. I don't want the scene to die. Like, that is how the game dies.
I think what happened
to Heroes of the Storm. Like, Heroes of the Storm still has a huge casual player base. The esports scene, like, they just messed up the esports side so badly that it died. Panda Global had a Heroes of the Storm esports scene, and this is exactly the path that they went down before it died. And I do not want that to happen to Hearthstone. So I think it needs to be talked about instead of just brushed off like it was with Heroes. and just people pretending to be happy until it's gone because of how bad it was. Like, that's just the reality of it.
I think Hearthstone is in a better spot than Heroes was, at least game-wise. Heroes had a lot more problems than just esports. Heroes had a lot of problems with the game.
Anyway, what were you saying, Danny?
I was saying that a big thing with regards to this is our criticism is not just to complain. It's more, the big thing about it is that we want to see the game do well. We want to see the game thrive, and we've seen it in its glory days, and we've seen it when it's in good spots. And it's been an amazing experience this whole time. And essentially, we think that Hearthstone is in a very good spot, and it could be in an even better spot. I think that is one thing that is... maybe we might harp a little bit too much on the negatives, and we do give a lot of criticism, but most of our criticism is constructive. I think that that is something we need to focus a little bit more on, and being more constructive and, oh, what could you do? And I mean, we do roll our eyes and say, oh, just implement tournament mode and everything. But ultimately, there are certain things that can be done. And I think that with our suggestion too, and getting a community around those suggestions is definitely a good way to approach this. And then at that point, as long as you're being constructive with it, ultimately you're forwarding the game. And I think that is something that is definitely very beneficial.
100% agree. And we're going to run out of time if we continue talking about this, because we have a lot of awesome stuff we want to talk about here in the show as well. So I'll just say that Enderled, I really appreciate that you left this review. Like I said, while it was a 3-star review and I'm disappointed that we couldn't get a 5-star review out of you, and that, you know, you feel like what you're listening to maybe isn't the greatest, I feel bad about that. I do really appreciate that you were completely honest with us on this, and I think it's good criticism, and we'll work on that a little bit.
Yeah, well. Especially like in that time frame of like 3 months, I can 100% see that and agree with it. Like if you were here, like last year when I was like on Bitcoin Mage hype train and just like playing in tournaments and like playing the decks that I love to play back then, it's like it's definitely night and day. It's just the nature of the beast. Everything has ebbs and flows, and it's just unfortunate when people come in during the ebbs and flows. Like if we stopped like doing a podcast whenever the game was stale, I don't know, that just feels disingenuous. Like that just feels silly, right? Like imagine if like because we don't play Hearthstone for like a couple weeks or a week, like we just that's it, we're done. Like
there's definite times I won't play Hearthstone for a month or longer at a time, but I still very much love the game and I always come back and play it. It's just at the time, it just doesn't have my interest right then and there because of reasons, and it could be any reason.
Yeah.
So anyway, we should probably hop over into the news.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
So first off, I wanted to thank our legend of the show, Taku MZ. If you'd like to be a legend of the show or help support the show in any way, just head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. And speaking of patrons, I did get the stickers yesterday. I'm hoping that they will be mailed out tomorrow or tomorrow being Wednesday or Thursday. So you should be seeing those in the next week or so. So unless you live in Australia, then it might be a couple weeks.
Then you will never see them.
No, you will. You will. We do have someone in Australia I am sending a sticker to.
Nice.
So. Then you will eventually see them.
You will eventually see them, yes. So anyway, the first thing we wanted to talk about, and I just wanted to quickly go over this because I feel like we have beaten the Grandmaster stuff to death at this point. But they did have the Grandmaster Season 1 finals this last weekend. And we have three winners who will be representing themselves in the World Championships, which will be at BlizzCon this year. Where did my list go? There it is. So if I didn't get a chance to watch any of this. Ray said that he got to watch a little bit of it. But just going over the winners real quick, the North America winner was PNC. He beat Purple in the finals 3-0. Phenomino was the Europe champion. He beat Seiko. I don't know how to pronounce that.
Seiko
3-0. And then in Asia Pacific, Surrender beat Alu Timo 3-0. 3-1. Anyway, I think the biggest controversy that happened was in the semifinals in North America. Frozen was given an automatic loss in game one against Purple, even though he won the game, even though Frozen won the game against Purple, but tournament judges declared that Frozen used an invalid deck, so he got an automatic game loss. So,
Oof, queuing up the wrong deck.
Queuing up the wrong deck. Yep.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. I mean, if it was an open cup, that's like an easy ruling, like easy peasy game loss, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. In a situation where your opponent, like Purple, didn't care because like none of the cards that were like not supposed to be there actually came into play.
Right.
He was like, just give Frozen the win. Like none of the cards mattered that he had that weren't supposed to be there, you know? Like it didn't really affect the game. But rules are rules at the end of the day, I guess, and they have to enforce them because if they don't, then I guess there's like a chain reaction where it's like, okay, in open cups, why do I have to enforce the rule of blah, blah, blah. It just leads down a rabbit hole that is not worth them going down.
Right.
So they just be consistent.
Yeah, and that's a good way of looking at it, I think, is, you know, if they had let this go and Frozen ended up winning and then ended up being the champion or whatever, you know, people could look back at that game. Like, you should have had a loss there. Who knows what could have happened? Well, you know, Purple ended up beating them because of that. So I get it, but I do feel like, I don't know. I feel like
there could have been some discretion and some like
right
different rule. This is a very specific situation, so there could be exceptions made.
Right, like if your opponent says no, it's okay, then I think the discretion it should be there that, you know, just let Frozen have the win.
Yeah, it's a hard call because I'm actually a huge fan of not letting your opponent have any say whatsoever, because if you say that they can reverse a ruling of you losing by saying let them win, now all of a sudden, if that happens again and somebody doesn't want to let them win, then they're being a jerk.
Yeah, it puts it on that player rather than the actual rules.
Yeah, so I'm actually... I'm torn on it. It's close. It is what it is, though, at the end of the day. And I don't think that anybody can be upset at the admins for what the ruling ended up being. Just unfortunate situation.
Right. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about the Grandmaster Season 1 Finals?
Not really. Like, the games were pretty standard. I mean, the only interesting matchup was really Frozen's deck versus Purple's. And, I mean, what happened there happened. So... most of the time I tuned in to watch, it was just like Warrior Mirror or like Rogue, like just very standard matchups that I've seen play out a million times, or Cyclone Mage against Warrior, Cyclone Mage Mirror. It's just like these are matchups I've seen played out hundreds of times. Like, you have to realize that Vegas is still effectively the same meta game as this was. And that means like I practice so many games for Vegas, so many games of Bomb Warrior and Cyclone Mage, and the meta really hasn't changed since then, so it's just I've just seen it played out way too many times for it to like really be exciting for me at this point.
Right. And you know, just like the two of the winners were Mage, so
yeah,
and then Surrender won with Rogue, and he played against Mage, so Mage was represented in all three finals.
Yeah, I think I'm just burnt out from this metagame just from having played way too much.
Yeah.
Leading up to Vegas, and then having nothing really change since then for like pretty much the last 3 months. So,
but
I'm really excited for this new set. Which
yeah. Speaking of the game changing, though, there's some really neat cards that came out this week.
Yeah, I think we all tried to go to that transition right at the same time. So,
at least we're in unison on that. Yeah,
we're like, let's move on and talk about the cool stuff. In the last week. We've started, it's reveal season. The holidays are over. We're starting to get, you know, some things coming in basically on new cards. And after the original 8 that we got in the original reveal, since we last talked, there have been 12 new cards revealed. And so there's been 20 of 135. They have been revealed so far. So we're not even a quarter through the set, and there's already some pretty cool cards that we're getting. So I wanted to start off with, I'm just going to start from the top and go down in alphabetical order, because the first card we got was a druid card, and it was a druid spell. It's a common, and it's my favorite named card of all time. It's three mana, and the card name is Bees, with three exclamation points in what? How many E's? Four. Four E's, yeah.
Four E's, just like the number of bees that get summoned.
Yep. Man, now they need like a fourth exclamation point, though, instead of three.
Yeah, that's kind of.
I need to
the number of Nick
that.
Cage yeah. memes that are going to come out because of this is great.
Bees.
This card. The bees.
So that's what you think of as Nick Cage. Well, I think of Tommy Boy in the scene where they're in the car and they're like, let's pretend there's a bunch of bees in the car. Start running bees. Anyway, the card is choose a minion, summon 4/1/1 bees that attack it.
Yo, this card is like potentially just insanely good for Token Druid because they don't all kill it, right? Like they don't all attack at the same time.
Yeah, what the card is, you summon the four bees, and then the bees attack a minion that you choose. And then if that minion is not around, the bees just stick around.
Right, so like pretend you attack a one health minion with the bees, or target a one health minion with the bees. Now all of a sudden you have three bees. Like you deal one damage, and you have three more bees just chilling. Like Whispering Woods is insane at four, right? So that summons like maybe 5-6 around turn 4. Sometimes you get a full board, but bees for 3, sometimes you can summon 3-4, and sometimes you're going to have strategies where you go bees into Knife Juggler, which is absolutely broken. Well, it might not be broken, but that combination in general just seems incredibly powerful. Bees into attacking one of your own minions like an egg and popping the egg, or some type of something similar to that, or some type of Acolyte of Pain situation where you're just getting value from the bees hitting your own minions, which is normally very difficult to do in Druid. I mean, sometimes it's just a 3-mana, 4-damage removal spell on a minion. That is not bad. That is Shadow Bolt is 4 mana. Like that is, or Shadow Bolt is 4 damage for 3 mana. So that's like the standard for 3 mana damage spells, right? It's 4 damage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this having a potential insanely good side effect is, I don't know, I'm excited for this card. This card's, I rate 8 out of 8.
Yeah. The big thing about this is this card made me learn more about the mechanics of the game. I learned how overkill actually works, because overkill, normally you think, oh, when you attack and then you kill something, your attack goes up. But actually what overkill reads is on your turn, when you kill something over like whatever their actual health is, get the effect. So if you play bees on something like a line cracker, the thing that doubles its attack every single time it goes, you can put a bees on a line cracker and it starts out at 5 and then it doubles to 10, then to 20, then to 40. So you stick a line cracker on whatever it's 7, and then you play bees on that and it becomes a 40 attack minion.
Oh yeah, because this doesn't say choose an opponent's minion.
No, you can summon you can do it on your own minion if you want to.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, with the egg.
Yeah.
So you can like pop an egg and like the 2-mana scarab egg that summons 3 dudes. So on turn 3 you just have a board full of 1/1 tokens, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just summon saw the, like it took me like 3 minutes, but then the light went off on what you guys were talking about, and I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize this card worked that way.
Also, it works with stuff like Cult. It's Cult Master, the 4/2/4 mana guy. So you have like a draw engine if you want it now isn't relying on something like Nerdish.
And I haven't seen that card in a long time.
Stuff like that. You have, what is it? What was the other big one? Floop's Glorious Goop. That's what it's called.
That's crazy. Oh my god.
Druid spell, the legendary druid spell.
Yeah, for every minion that dies, gain a mana. Like, that's nuts. Ooh, so essentially, if you play Gloop and then you play bees, you essentially gain a mana and deal 4 damage.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow, that's strong. That's really strong. Because Gloop's it's a really broken card, especially if you have an auctioneer out. Like, if you auctioneer and then you can go off with it, like, that's insane. So I can't wait to see what you can do with that. That's actually an application that I hadn't thought about before, and like that could actually be very, very, very useful.
Yeah, like anything that profits off of minions dying, which is actually like those effects are generally very powerful. Like Cult Master draw a card. That's what, 7 mana, draw 4 cards, which is actually, I mean, Nourish is draw 3 for that, but I mean, you're getting extra effects. You're also getting 4 damage on a minion. It's very flexible. You don't have to do it. Like, you can just have that Cult Master in your token deck as like a pseudo value game, like in mirror matches where you're top decking a lot. All of a sudden you save the bees because you're playing a Cult Master, and then you have the Cult Master, and now you're just infinitely ahead in a war of attrition type mirror match. There's just so many things that this card has potential uses with.
So the next card that we had here is the Mage Legendary Quest. And of course, like all quests, it's 1 mana. The name of it is Raid the Sky Temple. And the picture on this is awesome because it's like Reno Jackson, who's the mage in the set, like sitting there hugging all these scrolls, or it looks like he's either hugging them or running out with them. Probably running out with them.
He's totally running away with them, yeah.
Yeah, but he's definitely hugging them as well because he's, you know, grabbing as much as he can here. The quest is cast 10 spells, and the reward is the Ascendant Scroll. And the Ascendant Scroll is what changes your hero power to 2 mana, and add a random mage spell to your hand, and it costs 2 less. So it's like the portal, basically. The old portal.
Yeah, I mean, I think casting 10 spells might be insanely easy in this metagame. You have the magic trick, like that card.
Mana Cyclone, yeah.
Mana Cyclone, like Cyclone Mage almost like just can complete this quest on its own. Like if you actually build a deck that is designed to complete the quest, I think it would be very easy right now in standard. I don't know about Wild if it's even worth it, but
it's not in Wild just because of the other quests, but from the perspective of Mage running this card, I think that cards like the Explorer, what's the name of it? The Questing Explorer.
Yep.
I think that a card like that actually drives you to run this quest a little bit more. Because now if you run this quest, all of a sudden you can run 2 cards in your deck that say 2 mana, 2/3, draw a card. So like, running this card may just become the best version of whatever mage deck you guys have in standard because you have Questing Explorer. And I'm really excited about that. I really like to see that a lot of these quests, while, I mean, this hero power isn't super, super good, but because of some of the support that the quest cards have now, you might be running some of the subpar quests just because you can put the 2 mana 2/3 in your deck.
Yeah, and also, it's not like random spells or anything, so you're still going to be able to play like arcane intellect into mirror images, into like, you can still get to play all those small spells and have them count towards the quest or draw cards, and it doesn't have to be random or anything. Like magic trick is just an example because it can just get more cheap.
It's a 2-for-1, right? Because yeah. This, and you're going to start recognizing that the Ray of Frost is very good to this card because it's 1 mana, it's generate another spell. Like, so it's 2 spells for the cost of 1. Like Twin Spell is very, very good with this.
Yeah, maybe even Tome of Intellect or something like that is now almost playable. I don't know. Like, it might just be playable. Who knows?
Yeah. Anything else you wanted to talk about on this card?
No.
All right. So the next card is a Paladin Rare Minion, and we have 3 Paladin Minions coming up. The first one is a 1 mana, 2 attack, 1 health named Brazen Zealot. Whenever you summon a minion, gain +1 attack.
This synergizes with your hero power because it's summon a minion. So right. That's actually a really big benefit.
Yeah, I mean, this card seems insane as an aggro card to me. Like, 1 mana, 3/1, has that ever even existed in Hearthstone besides, like, the Wind Fury guy?
I think that's the only one. I can't think of anything that's a 3/1 for 1.
Well, this is a 2/1 for 1.
Right, yeah, but you're always playing a minion on 2. Like, right. You're never playing a spell on turn 2,
so
right?
So
like,
the only one I can think of, was it the 1 pirate? Was that 1 mana?
So that was a...
And then you equip your weapon and became a 3-1?
I think it was a 2-1.
It was a 1-2 that gained 2 attack. So it was a 3-2, and then it got nerfed to 1 health. So now it's a 3-1 with a weapon. But like having a weapon is way harder than summoning a minion. It's like, this is basically a 3-1 that can gain attack. Like, you're always playing a minion.
In Rogue, though, you get your weapon no matter what in turn 2.
Yeah, but there were better options for Rogue at the time. And the big thing about this, too, is that you're only thinking about playing this on 1. If you get turn 3 or whatever and you play this and 2 other 1 drops, it's a 4, right? So this scales very well, especially if you're playing a token deck where you are not opposed to having this on turn 1 at all, because you can kill their 2 drop with it because it goes up to 3 health. And then from there on out, it's like it only gets more upside. And this is actually a card that has a lot of potential in Wild too, because Odd Paladin is something that's very, very strong at the moment. And for 1 drop, sometimes you're playing the 2-1 that buffs a minion plus 1. But I think that this Brazen Zealot's actually like significantly better, because you play this on turn 1 and then you hear a power on turn 2 summoning 2 1-1s, and then it's a 4-1 on turn 2.
Yeah, that's insane. With dude, I'm glad they got rid of Baku, dude.
Yeah, right? Imagine if you guys still had Baku with this. Yeah,
that's insane. That would be dude, I don't want to think about that. Good thing I don't have to.
Now we know why Baku got taken out.
This card is one of the best aggro cards they've ever printed. Like, this is like Leper Gnome before it got nerfed level of powerful.
It does have 1 health, so a lot of the ping classes will be able to deal with it, and I think that's good. But I also think that the meta is in need for some aggro cards, especially for standard, because a lot of the decks right now are running are more mid-rangey or like play a mountain giant type thing. There's not much aggro that's really good, so I'm definitely looking forward to having some more aggro tools added. You can never have too many aggro tools, especially with the way the developers have been going recently. Like, any good aggro cards are just great.
Yeah, I mean, this card might not actually end up even seeing play because of that fact. Like, it has 1 health, and I mean, that's easy to deal with, but even if it doesn't, I still think that the card is actually just one of the best aggro cards they printed. Even if it doesn't see play, that sounds kind of weird, but just like the stats to me just seem like it can snowball like crazy. Yeah. Like against
like a warrior or something,
or something like Warlock, you just play this on 1 turn, you play turn 2, you play a couple 1 drops or you hero power turn 3, like you just spam the board with minions. I don't know, this card can just snowball so hard.
And now add this with the next card we're going to talk about, and Paladin looks like it's going to have some nice little aggro tools coming up, some early game pressure coming from Paladin possibly. The next card is the Sand Wasp Queen, and it's a common 2 mana, 3-1, and it's a beast, and it has battle cry, add 2-1 sand wasps to your hand.
Yeah, I mean, they're 1 drops, right? So they're just
right, but
more cards,
but
it's a 3-1.
Turn 1 zealot, turn 2 sand wasp queen. You're putting
on turn 3, you're just putting a bunch of more 2-1s on the board. Like, that's really sick. And then your zealot's gotten to like 6 at this point,
if they hasn't died yet. Which,
yeah, I mean, but hey, they or you traded your zealot into their 2-3 and you have a 1-3 on board. Like, you're gonna be, it seems like Paladin now is going to be able to get some really good early game starts.
Yeah, and we don't even know the rest of the cards. Like, if they get any type of board buff, like if they decide to change from hand buffing to board buffing, like Druid has, like in any form, or just give good buffs. I mean, Paladin does have some good buffs, like Blessing of Kings, whatever. But if they get like a non-single target buff cards, like a token buff kind of thing, I think that could push aggro Paladin into playability for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if whatever Paladin quest there is, it revolves around having 1 health, because from all the minions that we've seen from Paladin, they're all 1 health minions. The theme of the set being reborn, summon something back with 1 health, like I don't know. My bet's in that the quest for Paladin revolves around having 1 health.
I mean, I hope to God it does not revolve around secrets.
Yeah.
Dude, I swear. They keep trying. Do they keep trying to make that happen, dude?
Secret Paladin. You're just missing one challenger who's slightly mysterious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, I thought Secret Paladin was going to be good because of what was it?
The Bell Ringer?
The 2-drop and the Bell Ringer. Like, they have so many cards that feel like they should be good that just aren't because the secrets are just not good enough. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why it's not good. It's just bad. Aggro is just not good enough. You just run out of gas too quickly.
Yeah, that's traditionally what happened with secrets. Besides Mysterious Challenger, like, unless you having the potential of drawing a 1-mana card that does virtually nothing is kind of bad in a late game.
Yeah, I think they need something like the Getaway Kodo or some type of secret that actually gives you value. Like, Redemption is the only good secret right now for the most part. So
the most recent secret, the one that gives all of your minions +1 health or +2 health, that's actually a very good secret. It's being run in Odd Paladin Wild just because if you have a wide board, you're going to start to see this. I bet this is going to come in, especially because of Defile, right? Where your opponent has a big board of 1/1s and then you go to Defile their board. All of a sudden, every single one of their minions has +2 health. It's really strong in Wild. So I think that if you start getting some board clears for Standard, and then you're playing Paladin with this token generating wide board thing, you're going to start to want to run that +2 health secret.
Right. I guess that's the main problem with the +2 health secret is that you don't actually end up going wide on the board with Secret Paladin in the current form. Like, I've tried a million different versions of it, and most of them, like, you have like 2 minions on the board at most half the time. It's just like, it's just never good to +2 health. It's like never worth even half a card usually. But if you're going wide on the board, then maybe you'll end up playing something with secrets that's like a hybrid, and you just play the good secrets and you don't play the bad ones. And you just have like Bellringer Sentry or something with like 4 secrets in your deck or 5 secrets.
Yeah. But the 3rd Paladin card is another 1-health minion, like we kind of stated earlier. And it's 3 mana, and it's 3 attack, 1 health, also a beast. Salhet's Pride, and it's got Death Rattle of draw 2 1-health minions from your deck. So I have a feeling that Sir Murgleton is going to be doing something with 1-health cards. He's going to flip them around so they're 1 attack.
I could see that, but... This card to me is actually like such good design with the like them taking out Divine Favor and moving it into the Hall of Fame, because this is what aggro type paladins are going to lack, is some type of way to generate value or keep up onto the board going into the mid game. And these kind of cards just generate value for themselves. So like, you're not getting anything that's like broken. Like, you're not going to draw 7 cards for 3 mana, but you're going to draw 2 cards while still having a body. So these are the kind of cards that I really love seeing. That's just like solid value cards. And there was one card in Hunter that I still think is still one of my favorite cards. It's the Tolvir Warden. It's a 5-mana, 3/5, draw 2/1 cost cards from your deck or something like that.
Yeah.
I thought that card was just going to be so good because Hunter didn't have draw for the longest time. This was way before Master's Call. And it was just never good because it never drew anything that was good enough, but it was also 5 mana. And this card's 3 mana, and you're getting a lot of good... It's 1 health minions, not 1 cost minions. So you could have, I don't know, they could print something that's like just crazy powerful that costs a lot with 1 health. And
yeah, the tutoring effect is really nice. Controlled tutoring just in general is incredibly good. And we've seen that with Christology, where you're able to draw Acolyte of Pain and Novice Engineer with Christology, and... Like, this is going to be the same effect as Christology, but with health rather than attack. So if they ever print anything like a... I mean, you can draw all the Magma Ragers you want now.
I mean, you can do that, but you get what I'm saying. It's like,
yeah,
not broken. Exactly. It generates value, and that's exactly what Paladin is going to need in like a decent aggro mid-rangey type thing that they seem to be going for right now, in my opinion. So I'm really happy to see these cards. I'm actually super hyped for the new set. And like, once this new set drops, that's when you're going to see everyone getting hyped about Hearthstone again. That's when you're going to see me talking about ridiculous decks and saying all my ideas that are bad. And then next week you'll see me back to Bomb Warrior. But For 1 week, you'll get at least one good show. One good show out of me.
Yeah. And then Ray will go back to his usual self. So the next card is the priest card that we got this week, called Psycho Pomp, which is the most ridiculous name. It's a 4-mana epic, 3 attack, 1 health, and it's got the battle cry of summon a random friendly. Summon a random friendly minion that died this game and give it reborn. And if you remember, yep. Reborn is it summons it. It gives it rush, correct?
No, it doesn't give it rush.
It doesn't give it rush. Okay. So it just like summons redemption.
It's literally a redemption.
Yeah, it summons it and gives it 1 health.
Yep. Dude, I'm surprised this isn't a pounding card. It would just make so much sense. It would be so good. But this is such a good card. I mean, you're going to maybe play something like Injured Blade Master on 3. It will die. Then you play Psycho Pomp. And now you have a 3-1, a 4-7 that has reborn into a 4-1. That I'm assuming it's going to be like Redemption where they're damaged. So
for the first Psycho Pomp, the first minion that comes back is full health. And then the second one is going to be damaged. So right. This is kind of like, remember Onyx Bishop, which was 5-mana, 3-4, resummon a minion? This is just like strictly better. I mean, the stats are like, you lose 3 health from this, but essentially being able to go through and summon, I mean, Onyx Bishop saw play in certain periods of the game, just being able to bring minions back. I don't think you view this necessarily as a 4-drop card. This is more or less something going into like a big minion priest for standard, where you're able to go through, play, let's say you play a Lich King, and then your Lich King dies, then you play Psycho Pomp, you get a Lich King that your opponent has to kill, and then it comes back again. Like, you were able to do that with Onyx Bishop, and I think it's just going to be so much easier to do this with this card, because it's a mana cheaper. And then the minion comes back with Reborn, so... like something that's difficult to get through, like let's say a Sun Fury or not some whatever the 6-mana 4-5 with Divine Shield is. If you play something like that, and then it comes back and it gets Divine Shield in this stuff, like that's really strong.
I mean, you even have stuff like Witchwood Grizzly, like the cards that are just like the nuts off of like discover a minion and summon them cards because they get full health when they get summoned damage.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of cards, like there's going to be some type of big priest shenanigans going on, but I don't know. For me, I kind of want to try like a cool like pseudo aggro deck where you're like Blade Master and then you have like Northshire Cleric, Circle of Healing, like you benefit off of them also being damaged as well. And I that's probably going to be worse than whatever the new big priest is going to end up being, which I think that's good. Like this card's not insane. I mean, it is insane, but it's not like Barnes.
It's not like Barnes. Not
like, yeah, like you have to set it up, so it's good. I like it.
So the next card that we got here is the rogue, the first rogue card that we see, and it's the plague card. And if you remember, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The plague cards are the evil classes. They get this kind of plague card, and rogue got Plague of Madness, which is 1-mana. It's a rare. Each player equips a 2/2 knife with poison.
Yeah, I mean, this is like a pseudo weapon removal for rogue, which is kind of cool. In a spell, it kind of reminds me of Weapons Project, because you can get rid of their weapon. I mean, it is one of the few ways that rogue now has to deal with minions that are giant, like Mountain Giant, that kind of giant.
Right.
You know, like you have an answer to it. It's 1-mana. That's really good. You give them a weapon, you don't really care about that too much. You're probably going to play something like Harrison or Weapon Destruction in your deck, maybe. I don't. I like this card a lot. It is very versatile, just like Weapons Project. And Weapons Project is probably one of my favorite cards in the game, even if it's not necessarily too good right now. Just the design of the card is, I think, very good.
Yeah. I'm just glad that the plague didn't do some sort of like board cleary thing, because they went through and they removed Vanish because, according to them, it didn't fit in the character of the class of being able to deal with large, wide boards. And the way that the other plagues have been there, you've been able to deal with large, wide boards. And I'm just glad that the plague for this one is not in that same vein, because I would have felt that pushing Vanish to the Hall of Fame would have been like, they would have been very hypocritical if they did that.
Hmm. Yeah. Anything else on about this card you guys wanted to talk about?
Nope.
All right. Nope. So, moving down, we've looking at Shaman, and I believe there's three, maybe four cards.
Yeah, there's
four of them, four new Shaman cards that we saw this week. And the first one was the Legendary Quest for Rogue, or for Shaman. One mana, Corrupt the Waters. And the quest is play six Battlecry cards. And the reward is the Heart of Vernal. And the Heart of Vernal changes your hero power to two mana, and your Battlecries trigger twice this turn. Lots of battle cries.
Yeah, I mean, man, it's like what is it, Bran?
Yeah, yep. You get the, it's more like Bran than Murmuring Elemental. It's just that all your battle cries that turn trigger twice, and running a deck where you're already running a bunch of battle cries is very synergistic to be able to make them happen twice.
Yep.
Yeah, this is insane with lackeys too. Like,
yeah,
this card is just very good. If I mean, we're gonna talk about the removal options that Shaman are gonna get in a second, so I kind of want to segue this into the Earthquake card that we got, because I think that this card is actually very good in a Control Shaman deck, but Control Shaman really needs like a second big AoE to kind of stabilize themselves. I think that Haggith's Scheme is really powerful right now, but Lightning Storm is meh. They just need one more really good way to deal with board states and stabilize, and then this card could be insane. Like, think of how good Shark is with lackeys. Now you have that, plus you have all these other insane battle cries that Shaman has, and with this next card, Earthquake, if you don't mind me talking about it, JR, because
I think if you let me jump in real quick before you go on to Earthquake, though, you mentioned lackeys.
Yeah, there's one card that thing, I think, goes better with Corrupt the Water.
Well, no, we can go on to Earthquake next. I was just saying that lackeys with this, they trigger, playing your lackeys trigger the quest, right? Yeah. So you're all of a sudden, now you're running, we already spoke about Evil Totem, getting more lackeys, so you're going to be running like Cable Rat. Imagine running Cable Rat. All of a sudden, you have like a card that summons two of these. You're going to be able to get this quest done fairly easily. And then you got to recognize you're playing Shudderwalk. So, like, Shudderwalk, and if you're able to, however, do you guys still have Grumble?
Yeah,
so if you Grumble and then you get a Shudderwalk back or whatever, you can make you can guarantee that your Shudderwalk goes off twice, which is huge. So, like, combo, you don't have Serenite Chain Gang. It got nerfed.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we use Doppelgangster, sorry, but I was going to say that, like, this is a card that's really good in at least the wild Shudderwalk deck, because all the cards that you're running in there are just good because of Shudderwalk, and then, like, you're double dipping, essentially. You're playing Battle Cries, you're able to get the Battle Cries twice, and then, like, at the end, you get to finish the game off with playing all of those Battle Cries again, which is really cool.
Yeah. I think this card is awesome. I think in Standard, this kind of deck is going to be a threat. All that needed is this next card, which is Earthquake. 7 mana Shaman spell, deal 5 damage to all minions, then deal 2 damage to all minions. So it kind of is a way to deal with death rattle things. So, like, if aggro druid goes with tokens and they get a Soul of the Forest off, this now clears that board, and then it clears off the tokens that it leaves behind. So, or just is a 7 damage AoE to right. all minions,
yeah.
which is exactly what Shaman needed.
They could have given it one more damage and I would have been ecstatic, because then you can deal with boards of a lot of giants. Right now, if you're playing up against a mage and your mage, like, I don't know, you get a bunch of giants on board from Conjurer's Calling, your Earthquake doesn't clean up effectively. That's the one thing I'm not super pleased about. This is a good spell, but I don't know. I don't... Just at least in Wild, this is the third best big removal spell, because we have Volcano, so...
Just put down that spell damage creature.
Oh, that's a good point.
Bloodmage Thalnos, that's good. Bloodmage
Thalnos is, like, a thing, dude.
Yeah.
That's definitely a thing. I mean, there's also other ones, too, probably. Like, I know there's a bunch of other ones.
But... Just get a lucky 1 out of 4 totem.
That's legitimate
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So many games are going to be decided on turn 9 by whether or not they roll spell power totem to clear the board of four Mountain Giants.
I mean, that's really what you need is you just need some spell power.
Why didn't they make this 6 damage and then 2?
Or even 5 damage and 3, dude. Like, that would have been better.
Yeah. Okay. I'm still excited about this card. This card is still exactly what
you the card still is very good.
It's just like, man, the amount of games that are going to be decided on that totem roll is
What's nice about this is the second card that we've had this set now that deals with death rattles and can like kill that board.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's true.
Because this we got card the is, plague card or the we got the priest card when the set was revealed.
I mean, this is probably gonna be one of the decks that I go to on day one and try to figure out and break because I think it's just too good to not work. It just like this quest with this control type Battlecry Shaman, I don't know, it just seems very good.
Yeah. But the next card, the next Shaman card goes with the Corrupt, you probably want to play it in your Corrupt the Waters deck. And it's the weaponized wasp, and it's a 3-mana 3/3 beast. It's a battle cry. If you control a lackey, deal 3 damage. Deal 6 damage if you have the quest.
Card is the nuts. Like, this card is just good. Like, 3-mana. I mean, sometimes you play it on turn 4, right? Like, you're always going to have a lackey. You have so many lackey cards in this deck. You have the 1-drop lackey Murloc. You have the totem, and then you have the evil cable rat. And maybe even more. Who knows? But even with just those three, the consistency is going to be there. And on turn 4, just playing a lackey and then playing a 3/3 that deals 3, that's insane. 3/3 deal 3 damage. I feel like we've had cards like that. Like we had
Medivh's Valet. It was a 3-mana 2/3 deal 3.
Yep.
But you need a secret.
You had to have a secret. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are cards that are like every single card. Except for maybe the 5-mana 4/4 that the spell one, which I still think is a really good card, the Sunweaver.
Oh, Sunweaver is really good, yeah.
Like, I think that card is really good. It didn't really see any play, but I still think all the cards that are like this are very good. Like, this card is good. Like, it's very, very strange to me that I haven't really called any card garbage yet that we've reviewed. That. It feels weird, man.
It's very uncharacteristic.
Like, I still remember your very first card review on the podcast, Ray, and how upset dust. John was with you because you were just like dust, dust, dust. Every card dust. Was dust.
Yeah, because they were all bad.
Props to the Blizzard developers. Like they're printing a lot of puzzle pieces with this. It's not like, oh, there are these 5 strong cards and the rest are going to be garbage. It's like there are a lot of strong cards and then there are a lot of cards that have situational usage. I think that they've definitely recognized that printing bad cards is not good. Printing cards that are unique and maybe lackeys aren't going to take off. Maybe they print a really crappy lackey for like because they're introducing another lackey this set and all of a sudden lackeys are not as good as they have been in the past, but at least like you have the option to be like, oh well, maybe we can try lackeys or maybe we can try this, or there are a lot of options and definitely a lot of ways to build decks.
I mean
it's pretty good.
And then, you know, with weaponized wasp with the evil totem and getting more lackeys in your hand, it's like Shaman is not going to have a problem getting lackeys. So the next card is Plague of Murlocs, and it's a 3-mana epic spell. Transform all minions into random Murlocs. So there goes your...
I would prefer to have this card over Earthquake. Yeah, I was just about to say that. In that situation where an opponent has a ton of giants, I'd prefer Plague of Murlocs over Earthquake.
Yeah.
I guess Plague of Murlocs is probably actually going to be a legitimately good one of. Like, if you're playing a Control Shaman deck, too, with, like, a bunch of lackeys and stuff, a lot of your lackeys are just going to be 1/1s after you get the effect, too.
Now
so
they're going to be better
Murlocs. You might have some totems. Yeah.
It's less about you getting a board state off of this and more the fact that a lot of decks right now have big minions, like all of the...
Early big minions.
Yeah, early big minions or just in general, like the mech decks are focused on magneticing stuff and just creating tall board states that are, I mean, Shaman has Hex and stuff, but now they also have this. It's kind of like Devolve, but it has a plus side for your own board the majority of the time.
So consider the following situation, right? You're playing against a rogue, and on turn three, they go coin, prep, a bunch of other things, and then Edwin. And then you just get splattered with the Plague of Murlocs on turn three.
Just like, into
this is going to be sick. It turns into a bluegill.
Or a tiny
your opponent's 12-12. Tiny Fin. Yeah, I think that's still in.
Oh, man.
Your opponent's 12-12 becomes a 1-1.
That would be amazing.
That's pretty hype. Dude, this card is actually just like, this card is definitely good.
Yeah.
Like, I hate this. Where's the dust? Where's my dust?
Ray's getting no dust this expansion.
I'm not getting any dust. Where's the dust? Where it at, though?
Like, oh my god, it's so good when you're complaining that none of the cards are bad.
Yeah, dude.
You know it's a good set when you're not complaining that the cards aren't bad.
Yeah. I mean, you're right, dude.
The set is just exciting. I think that
this is 20 of the 135 cards.
Yeah, JR. There's going to be some dust. So far, I'm impressed.
Yes.
So far.
So the Warlock card and the final card that we have here that was revealed is a 4-mana spell, Embalming. Destroy a minion and shuffle 3 worthless imps into your deck.
So here it is. Here it is.
I can go through and I can maybe not convince you that it's a good card, but I think that they're pushing a little bit with Embalming because you're putting 3 more cards into your deck. And a lot of the times when you're playing as a Warlock, by being very liberal with your hero power early on, you're drawing through your deck. And as a control Warlock, a lot of times you get to the end of the game and, oh, I've ran out of cards. So even Embalming, you put a couple extra cards in your deck, and then let's say you play Rafam, right? And then all of your cards become legendaries at the end of the game, like you normally would in Control Warlock. I would definitely prefer that. And it synergizes well with your hero, the new quest, because drawing 20 cards is kind of hard, so you do like a plot twist or whatever. And then like the end game, you play I think the end game of this new Warlock shell is going to be you put a bunch of extra cards in your deck, shuffle with Elic or whatever, with your plot twist, get a bunch of cards in your deck, and then you drop a Rafam, and then you get to play 2 legendaries every turn.
Okay. I am convinced. Okay. I admit defeat. This is not dust. I think that this is at least going to be a one of in some type of control-y Warlock shenanigans thing. And if that deck is bad, then it's dust. But
yeah, sure.
It's potential dust. This is irate potential dust out of question mark emoji.
All right.
That is my rating for this card.
So having removal on 4 is big. One of the things in Wild Reno Lock, it's not going to run this card, by the way, because you shuffle 3 of the same card in your deck, so that just ruins Reno Lock. But in Reno Lock in the past, like Blast Crystal Potion was a removal for... we had 4-mana 7/7 coming down. You guys have a Mountain Giant coming down. So having a turn 4 thing in Warlock to be able to remove a big minion is very strong. People were non-ironically running Blast Crystal Potion just because against aggro, you could get rid of that 4-mana 7/7 against Shaman. And I foresee that this being a tool against some of the mage shenanigans that you're seeing with the Mountain Giant, just due to the fact that you can remove something before your BGH turn.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, potential dust. Doesn't mean dust. There's potential.
You know what, Ray? You gave me an idea when you were talking about the question mark emoji. We should do a review sometime on cards where we describe how we feel about the card by saying the emoji that we would give it.
Oh, then Ray would just give the poop emoji for everything.
Yeah, dude, that's what I would do. Poop emoji. Hog champ emoji.
Yeah.
Hand clapping emoji.
All right. Well, I thought we'd be creative with that, but nope.
How is it
creative?
You set that up. Poop emoji is the most creative thing out of it. You knew that would happen.
Yeah. Poop emoji, question mark, shrug, white girl shrugging.
Yeah.
Emoji.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
So the name of the, so I think we just came up with the title of the episode, Poop Emoji.
Poop Emoji, 3 stars.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. Oh, jeez. No. All right. I think it's time to get out of here, though. All right. So anyway, I think that does it for the show. If you want to email us, wellmet@blizzpro.com, we'll try to get to them as soon as we can. We didn't have any new emails this week, but we like getting them and we like answering them. So wellmet@blizzpro.com. If you'd like to support the show, there's a couple ways you can do that. The first one is over on Patreon, patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. And, you know, just going over there, and there's some incentives over there. $2, I believe, it gets you the show early, like a day early, and an extended show. So you hear us like kind of a pre-show and a post-show. That you don't normally get, and you get your own RSS feed for that as well, so you can plug that into your podcast reader app, whatever. There's also some higher tiers, and you can go as high as getting some coaching from the co-host of your choice. So just head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. The other way that you can help support us is through iTunes reviews, and we've already read the review that we got this week. But if you do enjoy the show and want to help support us, a 5-star review goes a long way. So just head over to iTunes, leave a review there. And, if you got something to get off your chest that you don't like and got some criticism for us, that's another place for, as you heard earlier in the show. We like criticism as well. It helps us, it helps us get better. So, we do not take that personally. Anyway, shout outs and how can people get in contact with you, Ray?
Shout outs to, I don't know. Can't think of one.
All right.
My brain's dead this week. Shout outs to Blizzard for printing cards that aren't dust. Good job, Blizzard.
Awesome.
You can find me on Twitter @TG_Racy, and you can find me on Twitch on twitch.tv/Racy591. I will probably not really do anything Hearthstone until the new set comes out, but once it does, I'm going to be on that grind for sure.
And for those of you that were celebrating Amazon Prime Day, make sure you go over there to Ray's Twitch channel and give him a Prime sub too.
Oh yeah, give me them Twitch Prime subs, baby. I got lots of cool emotes too.
Nice. Danny, how about you?
So I too am lazy, so I'm gonna go with the tried and true classic shout out of the BattleFi PR team. The BattleFi team. They went through and they screwed up round one of that tournament. I don't know. They didn't do anything.
Multiple tournaments this weekend.
So
it was every single one.
Great job, BattleFi. Keep up the great work. So that's about it for me. I didn't really have anything interesting to shout out this week. You can find me as normally on Twitter, DannyDonuts_HS.
Cool. I'm going to give a shout out to the jackass that hit my car on Friday. I was stopped at a stoplight, and then he ran into me from the back. I went out to get his insurance card, and he gave one to me. I took a picture of it. I didn't look that closely at it. The stupid thing was expired. Still made a claim, but it seems like there's some issues with his insurance, so I'm going to have to pay for the whole thing myself. I hate people so much. So, anyway, shout outs to that jerk. sorry, I had to get that off my chest. But you can find me over on Twitter @Eldorian. So thanks for joining us for episode 206 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. can also tweet us at WellMet Podcast or email us at WellMet@BlizzPro.com with comments, questions, and ideas that you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Buttonew for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you all next week.